Well, good morning, Sanctuary Columbus Church. Good morning,
good morning. If you're excited to be here, would you just clap your hands and give God some praise today?
Oh, man.
I don't know about you, but during worship, I was just blown away, just thinking about seeing God's goodness while we're still here. I grew up in a traditional black church, and sometimes they would sing songs like Walk Around Heaven All Day. They would look forward to being in heaven, but if I have to wait to see God's goodness to get to heaven, I don't think I want it. I want to see God's goodness while I'm still here. I still believe God can heal while we're still here. I still believe God can provide while we're still here. I don't want to wait to get to heaven to see God's goodness. I want to see it while I'm still here. So I'm praying that worship was a blessing to you, and I pray that this meditation on this psalm, Psalm 27, which is one of my favorite psalms, I pray that this is a blessing to you. How many of you have enjoyed this Psalms of Summer series? How many of you have enjoyed it? Amen. So Psalm 27, we read it already, so I'm not going to read it again. I'm not going to have you read it again. It's a lengthy psalm. But today I want to focus on this thought, the disciplines of an unbreakable faith. The disciplines of an unbreakable faith. Faith is practical. Faith is not mutually exclusive for people of faith like us, not for Buddhists, not for anyone else who has a specific faith. Faith is something we exercise on a daily basis. Matter of fact, before many of you woke up today, last night you went to your iPhone or your Android and you went to your clock app and you set an alarm because you believed that your alarm would wake you up this morning. Many of you, you got into your car this morning. You didn't walk around the car or ask the car, will you get me to Sanctuary Columbus Church today? You got in the car, put the key in the ignition, or maybe if you have a new car, you have to push to start. Maybe you're fancy. But you got into your car and drove here because you believed that your car would get you here today. When you came into this sacred place called Sanctuary, you didn't walk around the chairs to wonder if the chair would hold you up. You just chose your seat and sat down because you believed that the chair would hold you up or you would not have sat in it. Faith or belief produces behaviors. The more you put trust in a person, a place, or a thing, the more your behaviors begin to reflect that belief. And this is evident in this psalm. This psalm is a psalm of complete confidence, utter, unbreakable faith in God. Twice in this psalm, Psalm 27, David uses language like, I will remain, or yet I remain confident. This is a beautiful picture of an unbreakable faith in Yahweh in the face of adversity and difficulty. The truth is, none of us definitively know when David wrote this psalm. I like to believe that he wrote it when he was in flight from King Saul, when King Saul looked to kill him in 1 Samuel 18 and 19. Some believe he wrote it later in his life, but regardless of when David wrote it, we can see that David knows what it means to experience difficulty, to experience some challenges in life. And he doesn't just talk about previous difficulties or current difficulties. He knows that difficulties will lie ahead because the truth is that life cannot be lived without difficulty, without seasons where you're struggling through some stuff. It doesn't make you any less Christian. It doesn't make you any less of a believer, but sometimes life is just hard. I'm talking to some parents today who knows what COVID-19 has taken you through. You don't know if you should send your kids back to school. You don't necessarily know what's safest. It seemed like we were getting to a better place, and then we hear about more variants. Life can just be difficult. But yet David says in this psalm, I remain confident. He gives us this picture of an unbreakable faith. And so I want to give you a few disciplines that he shares with us in this psalm. But before I do that, he starts with letting us know who God is. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. This is not the first psalm that David opens by saying who the Lord is to him. In Psalm 23, Michael Morgan just preached on this a few weeks ago. David begins that psalm by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 18, David says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. David was saying who the Lord is to him. And there are many attributes to the God that we serve as to why we can have complete confidence in him. It's not either or, it's both and. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's my healer and my provider. He's my wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. Matter of fact, I can just say he's all that. Listen to me. Many of us, when we have issues like pain, we'll take ibuprofen, or maybe some of you would take something else, but if I have a headache, I'll take ibuprofen. If you have a toothache, you may take ibuprofen. If another has a backache, they may take ibuprofen. We all may have different reasons why we need ibuprofen, but we go to the same source to get what we need. All I'm trying to say today is God is everything that we need. If you need a provider, he's a provider. If you need a healer, he's a healer. If you need a deliverer, he's a deliverer. And I don't know about you, but I know he's been all that I need. Will you just say out loud, he's all that? Yeah, that's what David says. He's my light and he's my salvation. In this season of your life, this could be a good time for you to go through scriptures and look to see who God is. To remind yourself, the Lord still loves me and he still cares for me. To remind yourself that you're fearfully and that you're wonderfully made. To remind yourself that God still has a purpose and plan for your life. That God is all that we need. So David says, the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. If he is in flight running from Saul, he's facing some difficulty, but yet he's still saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. What I want to suggest to you today is that while David is saying this, maybe he's recalling times when God had been his light and been his salvation and been his strength. So if that is the case, maybe he's recalling when there was a Philistine giant named Goliath who looked to destroy him, and God provided everything that he needed when he needed it most. Maybe he was remembering when God had come through for him before. Here's the first discipline of unbreakable faith. Here it is, the discipline of remembering. Sometimes in our life, what we're facing right now, we have to look back over our shoulder and remind ourselves of what God had already done. Because we do believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So sometimes, every now and again, it's good for us to pause to remind ourselves of what God already did. Yes, God, thank you. Listen, I remember when I was in driving school, my instructor said, Keith, what you see ahead of you is so important. You need to focus on that a majority of the time. He said, every now and again, it's good to look up at your rearview mirror because what you see behind you could help you with what is in front of you. And that's what I believe David may be trying to say to us today, is that sometimes when we're facing life's difficulties, it's good for us to look back and remind ourselves of when God healed me before, to remind myself of when God provided, when I didn't have the money to provide what I needed, when God was able to do things that only God could do. Sometimes we need to recall what he's done. Here's the second discipline, the discipline of seeking. That's in verse number 4. David says, there's one thing that I desire of the Lord that I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. David was basically saying, I just want to be in the presence of God. But how many of us seek Netflix and Hulu more than we seek God? We seek reality TV. We seek social media, looking for something that we may be able to get from God if we would just seek him. He says, this is the one thing that I want more than anything else. He notices that there's benefits of being in the presence of God. David, he may have been restricted. He may have not had access to the temple when he was writing this psalm. So he was longing to be in God's presence. He says, that's where I want to be. And can I tell you the good news is that we don't have to wait to get to this place to get God's presence. We don't have to wait to get into the temple. Listen, I love being able to worship with all of you. I love hearing the worship team. I love hearing that sound of all of us worshiping together. But one thing COVID should have reminded us is that we don't have to be in this building to experience God's presence. I can get God's presence when I'm in my room, in my closet, when I take a walk with God, when I'm journaling with God. However it is, I want to suggest to somebody today, make the priority to be in the presence of God. Because in his presence, you may get something that can prepare you for the rest of your day, the rest of your week. I remember there was a day I woke up, I got on Facebook, and do you know that I spent an hour and a half watching Facebook videos the first thing I got up? An hour and a half. And I felt convicted in that moment. Because what else could I have been doing in that hour and a half? How could I have been learning more about God or having God prepare me for something that I may not have thought about? If I would have been in his presence. Prioritize the presence of God, because God may just be wanting to share something with you. The discipline of seeking. Thirdly, it's the discipline of yielding. David says in verse 11, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. David understands that although he may have wisdom, he may have some knowledge, there's some things that he needs God to help him through. There's some things he needs God to reveal so that he can continue on through this journey. Do you know what David is really saying? I believe that David is really saying something like when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus was wrestling with his purpose and he uttered the imperative words that he said, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, teach me, because I don't know it all. I may have some degrees, or I may have this, I may have that, but Lord, I still need your help. Teach me. So he's saying, I've got to yield to whatever plan God may have for me. Funny story that happened this morning. My wife is a testament to this. We were getting ready to drive to church. I got up, I got dressed, I got ready. I had to get my daughter up. I went and got her from her crib and picked her up, put her on my arm, went to go change her. I thought all was good. I was making good time. And I looked down on my arm of my shirt. And parents, you know where I'm going with this. I put her pants up here, and as you could know it, there was something brown that was on my shirt. And I was upset. I was like, oh my God, I had a plan to wear a specific shirt. This was just my backup. But I had a plan to wear that specific shirt. But life happened. There was a different plan, and I had to put on this shirt. What if God wants to change your plan for your life? I know you've got this huge plan. You've got, you want to go to school for this specific thing and do this and do that. But what happens if God shows you another plan? The question is, will you yield to what he has in store for you? So David is concluding. I got to go. I know I only got 20 minutes, baby. About 10 minutes, maybe 15? Okay, I got to get ready to go. Listen to me. Here's the last one. The discipline of waiting with anticipation. Waiting with anticipation. What Malcolm was saying is so true. Waiting is hard. We live in a culture and in a day where we want everything instant. The microwave, I believe, is one of the best inventions because it does help us get food quickly. But we want microwave type of things. We want microwave blessings. We want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. But if you never had to wait, there would be lessons that you may have missed. If you didn't wait, there may have been some things that you may not have recognized. And God is so sovereign that he'll have us wait on him because he's got something for us to learn while we're in the waits. Because hear me, while we're waiting, God is still working. While we're waiting, God is still working. Malcolm and I, we were both journalism majors at Ohio University, one of the best schools out there. Go Bobcats if any of you go there. But listen to me. We were journalism majors, and some of the most important people are not the people who are on the screen. Some of the most important people are producers and video editors and people who are working behind the scenes. Without them, there would be no shows, there'd be no television news, there'd be none of that. That's what God is doing. You can't always see him. You can't necessarily always trace him, but he's always working. He's always working for your good. He says, you got to have the discipline to wait. Waiting is going to get you certain blessings in certain seasons that impatience would have never gotten you. So as I leave you with this, David closes by saying, I remain confident. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Can I give you this statement? God responds to disciplined faith. He loves to respond to disciplined faith, even so much so that when Jesus was on earth, one of his statements that he used a few times is, according to your faith. What does your faith say about the God that you serve? Do you believe that God is going to be who he said he is? Do you believe that he's going to do what he's promised you? Do you believe that it'll happen while you're still here on earth? Or are you just wishing that it'll happen? He says, I remain confident. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I can't see it right now, and Saul may be looking to kill me, but God, I believe that no weapon that is formed against me will be able to prosper. I still believe that you can perform miracles. I still believe that cancer has to bow to your name. I still believe that you can make a way out of no way. I still believe. In spite of a pandemic, I still believe. These are the disciplines of an unbreakable faith. The enemy is trying to throw everything at you so that he can get you to start doubting and start not believing. But God is saying, trust me, because I will do what I've promised.